blight on the community, and we've tried to remove that liability to the county, liability to the community, and get them back into private ownership as quickly as possible, so.
That's correct. They've become a tremendous liability to the county and to the public. As an example, I'm currently working on 5 different properties that is going to require quite a bit of money to go in and remove a great deal of trash from within the property because they've been broken into and damaged.
Great. Okay, I think that.
Do any of these have an attractive nuisance aspect to them to where we're at higher risk than normal for them?
We certainly do. I've got, in particular, on this list, 2 properties that have been a problem to the neighborhoods for which they sit and are going to require a substantial amount of money to go in and clean up in order to make them available to the public for purchase.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I have no further questions. Commissioner Morgan?
No, I think we've answered them all.
Great. Okay. Well, this is the time we'll open it up for public comment. It's really just on this issue, these 2 elements of the public hearing here today, designating county-owned real property as public parks or recreational areas and regarding the alienation, sale, conveyance, or exchange of county-owned real property designated as public parks or recreational areas. So we'll open it up for public comment on this issue. If there are any, please come forward and state your name and general locale. You'll be given 3 minutes on this subject. There'll be another opportunity to speak in general later on, but it's just on this issue, Ms. Aaron, so go ahead.
Daniel.
Great.
Judy Aaron, resident of Wilson County. It's hard for me to keep up with all these things going on, but this exchange of property, and I noticed on that particular one, it had indicated that there could be the sale of properties in Josephine County versus just exchanging them in the recreational parks department, or I think something about the city. So obviously I'm very dating this, but this is what I do understand. With our county hurting so much, we hear in the paper and everything going on with public safety, it would just strike me that where we want to go with this exclusively is that make sure we can sell our property so the county would have some money because we're really always hurting for money. So instead of just making an exchange here when it said the possibility of selling the property, I think we should just exclusively have it be selling the property. Then that would give us money and the budget for things that seems like this county really is hurting for, which we hear time and time again from you 3 folks or from the newspaper. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Ford.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. This is one of the kind of things that the previous board set up, and I believe Commissioner Herr was the driving force in making these property sales come available for Parks and Timber, which I think is one of the best things that could happen. And these properties have sat, some of them since the 50s, on the county roll, and they are an encumbrance to the county and potential for liability. So by moving these properties to the private sector, I think it's one of the things that we need to do on a timely basis. I know we've got, I think, 2 or 3 sales now, and I think we got at least 2 planned for this year. So that's one of the things that, as a county, it's nothing but positive. And the money has to be going to the parks, and one of the things that Commissioner Leung mentioned was the other entities that have a tax roll. Well, they don't do anything to collect it. They just collect, they hold their hand out like they do to all the rest of taxes. So the money should be designated to timber or the park service and go directly for county good. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes. Ms. Castanelli?
Sandy Castanelli, Rolling Oregon. Just to comment on what Gary said. It wasn't Commissioner Hare that started it. It was implemented through the previous property manager, Phil Kerrigan. And my comment today is I would request that this board not give the city outright the properties that are within the city, but to sell it to the city, because you have the opportunity to do that and then put the money into the parks. I don't think, you know, time and time again, for a long, long history of just giving the city property when the city can afford to pay for it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone else? We'll bring it back to the board for the remainder of the hearing. I think I just want to clarify a couple of things. Yeah, it's not intended for this to be an exchange opportunity. I think that's probably at the discretion of the board regardless. Designating them as parks or forestry, and in this case parks, provides the ability to alienate and put up for sale. Properties that we've acquired through tax foreclosure may have the discretion at the board level to just exchange those or do something else, but that's not our intent. Our intent is to benefit those two programs and the community at large through those sales. Ideally, people should do their homework and come back on the 25th and hopefully participate in that. The range of properties that are going to be available are not just the 12 that are alienated or designated today. There are properties throughout the county, various sizes and developabilities. I will say that, Mr. Ford, you're right, that the tax and assessment is not paid for as a program by any of the special districts. There's 14 in Josephine County, 13 that participate in tax and assessment. The irrigation district does not. They do their own collections, and none of those pay for the system except for the county, which is the third lowest in the tax rates applied to county residents on their property taxes. And so I do think it's important. The program had waned since Mr. Killian retired, and there were a backlog of properties that the new manager, Mr. Watson, has inherited. And so at no fault of Mr. Killian or previous boards, we just took this up as something we were going to do as a previous board, and this board has continued to be a champion. We're going to do that. I think it's really important that we have hundreds of these properties that need to be managed and put back on the rolls and put into private hands. And for whatever reason, that just didn't happen prior to Mr. Watson and myself. So we're going to be moving it forward as best we can. And I do appreciate Mr. Killian's work on this. There's a lot of records, and it's a lot of work. It doesn't just happen. This is the culmination of months of activities in order to get it to this point. So I appreciate Mr. Killian and Mr. Watson and the offices that participated in this. So any other?
Well, and just to clarify, we're not giving the property to the city, correct?
No.
Okay. So this is purely just getting permission from the city that it can just go to the parks. And then they're getting sold so that they'll be on the tax rolls so that the whole community can benefit, including public safety, from those taxes.
Right. Okay. So at 9:18, we'll close the public hearing. We'll go into our administrative calendar. Item 2A is the formal action on this, which is approval of order number 2017-010 in the matter of designating county-owned real property as parks, public parks, or recreational areas. We've kind of gone through this already. I think Mr. Watson spoke to that, unless there's any further questions on it. Item number 2B is approval of order number 2017-011 in the matter of alienation, sale, conveyance, or exchange of county-owned real property designated as public parks or recreational areas. So to clarify the different options that we have, those are provided in statute. I believe that the board has the intent of just to sell these properties, but at any time they do have the option of either of those other things. We've already gone over that one. Item number 2C is approval of amendment number 1 to contract for personal services with DH General Contracting and Maintenance, LLC, for transit vehicle cleaning. This is a pretty simple amendment. When this agreement was first approved last year for cleaning of our transit vehicles, the vehicle sizes were a lot different. They were smaller. And since then, we've acquired much larger vehicles. I think they're about 40 feet or so. There's just an amendment to accommodate that increased size when they are getting their routine cleaning. And so technically, this is probably a consent calendar item, but it made it on the admin calendar. But it's a good thing to review nonetheless. And if there are any questions, Item number 2D is approval of intergovernmental agreement number 31537 between Josephine County and ODOT for the continuous operations variance permit authorization. Commissioner DeYoung?
Yeah, this is a 10-year agreement that pops up every 10, just a continuation of that agreement. What it amounts to is that because we, when ODOT's priorities and their jurisdiction enter the city of Grand Pass, there is the ability for the city of Grand Pass to, and on county roads also, charge a fee for over length vehicles. And that it just says that when you're coming off the state highway system and the federal highway system, that you seek approval to go through town so to make sure there isn't any obstructions and stuff. Continuation of that that agreement, and it's an operation variance permit authorization, and it's just a renewal of that. So.
Great. Any questions? No. I think it's important to clarify that all of these items were reviewed about a week ago on Thursday of last week, as we typically do at our administrative workshop. So if you want all of the detail, that's probably the first place that I'd start. Item number 2E is approval of contract for public works project between Josephine County, JRT Construction LLC, for Azalea Drive at East Fork U Creek Culvert Replacement, project number 280001. Commissioner DeYoung.
Yeah, this is a culvert replacement out there on where U Creek and Azalea Drive come together. Basically it washed out, and what we're trying to do is the total contract price is $259,239 with JRT Construction Company, which is the lowest bidder on that. We're going to try to squeeze that in before summertime, so we're going to try to squeeze it in within the spring break period. JRT has agreed to work both the incoming weekend of spring break and the outgoing week, and hopefully they looks like they're going to be able to pull this off in a 2-week period so that they won't be upsetting buses and whatnot. So we'll see how that works out.
This is another example of a culvert that we've had infrastructure that was put in some 40-50 years ago that's coming to the end of its useful life, and we had one last year. We had at least one, maybe two, and they're not surface culverts. They're way down, so it requires a large excavator to get down there and pull that culvert out. The reason why we're not waiting until the dry season is we're worried that it'll be a full-on blowout. At this point, it's just structurally not sound. We've had to do some cold patch over that continuously throughout the season, and the engineers that have reviewed it have the fear that if it does fail, then it's a full-on washout. And then we'd have a really big problem to fix it. And as much as I'd like for us to wait till the easy season when it might be potentially cheaper, it's a gamble. And if you roll the dice and you wait and it doesn't work out the way you'd like, you'd save a couple of bucks and you'd end up spending a lot more in the fill required to fix that culvert. So we're going to bite the bullet and get it done before there'll be a required for a diversion of the water in the interim. But like Commissioner DeYoung said, there's an incentive in the contract for the contractor to get it done ASAP. And I think we met with good success last year. I failed to remember the road that we had that on, but it's the road right up there. Yeah, I'm sure Mr. Ford and Commissioner DeYoung would know exactly what I'm talking about. But they got it done in a few days. I think it was 3 or 4 or 5 days shorter than the contract. So 2 weeks is just the duration of time. It can be done sooner than that. And we've been successful with that in the past. So,
yeah, the alternate route out there is a long way. You have to go back over to Upper River Road and back around. So they're just trying to get that done just ASAP. They're having to divert some water down there at the bottom of the culvert, so they're aware of that. They've got everything pretty well planned out. I'm hoping everything goes quickly so that people out there on New Creek, it's a long ways around if you have to travel day in and day out. So culverts, hopefully we keep this to a minimum and get it fixed up for you.
Culverts aren't quite like bridges. They're a lot different than bridges in that you can't really replace one lane at a time. It really is the full span. So that's why the whole road will be shut down for that duration of time. Okay, we're going to go on to item number 3, which is requests and comments from citizens. You'll just be provided 3 minutes. Please state your name and general locale for the board, and you're to speak on any subject in this portion. So, Sandy Casanelli.
and rolling over, and, you know, I've seen a lot of people come up to this podium and make requests from citizens to our board of county commissioner. One was, could you please give us back our captain's tables and chairs from the lobby? The veteran service only is open one day a week to the public. It's closed on Fridays. And we get a lot more use out of that in the lobby than they do down in the basement of the courthouse. I've seen people ask for posting of minutes. The draft and the final minutes should be on the website for everybody to access. I think one lady said that the last posting was last summer sometime. And then other people have come and asked for an opportunity for the public to speak on administrative and consent items, as well as just the requests and comments from citizens. These are easily things you can do. It doesn't cost any money. And it would be a good faith effort to the public. If you come kind of constantly, the only interaction you have with the public that's somewhat positive is to ask us for more money for the sheriff, for the now, it's for the libraries. It really is a slap in the face to be treated poorly by our county commissioners. On item number 2E, the culvert replacement for JR2 construction, there's no money item listed in the documentation. I just wondered how much that was going to cost to replace that culvert. I encourage people to vote no on the jail levy and vote no on the permanent taxing district for the libraries. 17 out of 47 districts that voted yes previously to the 2014 library district were primarily targeted for this taxing district for the library. This is kind of like a slap in the face. You're punishing previous supporters of the library so that they will have to forever tax their properties for the library. The operational budget for the library is half of what they're asking in this taxing district. Half of the 1.3 million projected revenues are going to go only to the cost of employees in the library. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Seligman?
Good morning, Commissioners. Mark Seligman, Selma, Oregon, 21 years old. First, I have a request. When you, in your protected time, when you comment on what's been said, if you refer to somebody, especially if you criticize them, they should at least be given the 30-second rebuttal. That would be common decency. Once upon a time, we had that. Now, I know you commissioners do your job very diligently. You do it diligently when it comes to items that you are for. Now, regarding law enforcement, there are three solutions that you have made very little mention of. One of them is SRS payments. Have you informed the public that 76 legislators are working to reauthorize this act, which could bring approximately $4 million to the county? I wonder. Number two, Public Works could clearly come up with $1 million for law enforcement. And most importantly, is Senate Bill 391 by Ted Ferrioli of John Day County, which means in those counties where 50% of the land is owned by the federal government, Josephine County, every single employee of a public entity, city, county, state, federal, would pay their income tax to the county. Do you know how many employees there are in Josephine County like that? There's 300 for the county alone. I'm sure there's 1,000. With a 9% tax rate, rounded off to 10, at $50,000 salary, you know how much money that is? That's $5 million. I know you've been informed because Ted Ferrioli's office gave you all a press release. Have you told the public that?
I haven't heard it. Now, people cannot afford this tax lift. If you live in Kirby or Cave Junction, you're paying far more than 93 cents a thousand on all the taxes. You're paying $1.70 when you add it all up. Are you informing the public of that? Are you informing them of the 3% increases per year? I don't think so. You're not. Why are you not informing the public of that? Because I believe if the public knew that, they would vote no on the levy. You have a public relations gesture here of having these law enforcement meetings. Well, that's good. But deep down, you're not going to change your mind. You're going to put this levy on the ballot. Law Enforcement Summit have been met with numerous participants telling you no. Citizens protesting your tax proposals will continue. Both of you were Grants Pass City Councils trying to foist your taxing agenda upon the county residents. By the way, your claim of being born and raised in Josephine County, yes, Simon Hare was born and raised in Josephine County. However, Commissioners DeYoung and Morgan have never lived one day outside the city limits. I've lived 21 years outside the city limits. I know the county far better than you do. As far as trust in government, if you can't even keep your campaign promises to abide by the will of the voters, how can we expect you to deal with the money that we give you more effectively?
Anyone else? Ms. Ahrens?
Good morning again. Judy Ahrens, resident of Josephine County. I think I want to start with what my mother taught me growing up. Always leave a place cleaner than you find, which I pick up a lot of trash all the time, in which I got four or five bags after one time. And the other thing that she taught me is quite a character trait that I learned to adhere to from my mom and dad, is that when somebody's speaking to you, it's so very, very rude not to address them and look at them when they're speaking. So it's just common courtesy. So I think we can expect no little from our representatives that during their campaign, they're talking, they're smiling, and they're looking direct at you. And it's kind of an interesting trait that after they get elected, not even to look at you. So I would appreciate it when we're speaking, to at least pretend like you're paying attention other than on your computers. So one thing I would like to start with, that I'm too against the levies, the tax levy, and against the district library tax. And I'm going to start with a solution for it. Somebody gave this idea yesterday. It was awesome. They said instead of having the district, the library district tax, instead of having that, if people vote no on that, that would save the money, and then you can move it over to the public safety, which would be awesome. So you could take that money and then just keep taking these little bits of money, like that movie Dave. Just take a little bit here and move it over here, and all of a sudden, we're good. And according to teaching our citizens to have self-defense, that would be great if we could have a PowerPoint on that. The other thing is that somebody was sharing with me, I thought it was an awesome idea, that I'll address you on, and you can let us know at the next meeting. She said, Judy, if you go before them today, please ask them, what would you have to cut in the county budget? So we'd have to see the budget again, or bits and pieces of it, to support law enforcement instead of putting a levy up. So if we could have somebody like Dave in that movie, if you guys have seen, it's great to go and look at things that we could cut. Maybe it's like maybe the fencing out here they're putting up. I don't know what's going on there or whatever's going on. Little bits of money here and there. But we can put it in the number one thing when we take that pledge. I pledge, according to the Constitution, to protect this county, country, etc. That's us, the citizens here. So if you could just really focus and have a mindset that instead of really promoting stuff, and trust me, some of my people addressed me and said, Judy has nothing to do with these levies over the last 10 years. It has everything to have not having funded liability for people who are retired, that get to retire at 50, 55, then move on to another job, and they're consultants, and they have a good time. And yet, we have people down here, if you take a walk, notice all the stores down here that are closing. Now, more will close, and then the burden moves down the left, unless people want to move to Texas, which is really, really a good government-friendly community. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Ford.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. Well, we've heard it again. Let's just take $1 million from the public works and give it to the sheriff. Perfect idea, example of why we should do that is the culvert failure out on Ukraine. That money has to come from somewhere, and it comes from reserves in the public works. So we could give the money to the sheriff. He could hire some deputies, train them, and then both departments would be out of money. It makes no sense whatsoever. And mentioned SRS, 67 senators, congressmen that wanted to keep that going. One of the things that I didn't realize until I had a chance to work in Virginia for a few years for the company I used to work for was the difference between the East and the West is the amount of publicly owned land versus privately owned. Back on the East Coast, most of the timber, in fact, except for the exception of the Allegheny National Forest, which is in upstate New York, is private. I think that needs to be a thing we need to do, but taking the money from SRO, depending on SRS, hopefully it comes. I don't think it's going to, from what I've heard and read, I just don't see the bulk of the Congress is going to support continued payments of SRS. It'd be nice if it happens, but I certainly wouldn't bet on it. So I think one of the things we have to look at is taking care of ourselves, and if we have to pay more taxes, then maybe that's an option we have to consider. Especially the levy, because I believe if the federal government eases restrictions on timber harvest, it's going to take at least 3 or 4 years to get the timber harvest back up. And then where's the timber going to go? We have no mills left in Josephine County, with the exception of at least two. There's two that are left. They're very small. And so the timber's going to go out of the county anyhow. That does not provide jobs for county citizens. So it's a long process to get timber back in, and probably a longer process if we want to depend on mining. So in the short term, a levy may be necessary. Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone else? I'll bring it back to the board for comments. Yes, Commissioner DeYoung.
Yes, just one of the presenters said that she was not aware of what the public work projects between GRT construction for the Azalea Drive, and I did mention it's $259,239. So if that person would step back into the room, she would be aware of that. So just that was brought up. You're welcome.
I did review the contract, and it's ironically, I wasn't able to find that number where it should be in the first couple.
I struggled with it. It came. I found it in the not to exceed.
Okay.
In the not to exceed, and I verified that with Public Works Director this morning before it came to the meeting.
Okay, great.
But that was because, he said he was, I looked at it from the opening statement.
Yes, that's where it typically
contract,
is.
I'd like to know what the contract is.
Yes.
You know how much the money is. And I did find it in the not to exceed and verified that with Public Works Director Rob Brandon.
I think that's the nature of this one not being exactly understood how
yes,
much it's going
I agree
run.
With that.
So, anything else? Yes, Commissioner.
I'd like to bring up the request for the captain's chairs. The captain's chairs have been moved to our veterans office that is open every day. It may be closed on Fridays, but
it's
open
by appointment only on Mondays.
But I've gone down there randomly and found staff there and gone in. So we have something open for business 4 days a week, and we're in here for 2 hours a week. So the greater use is our veterans office, where the public has an opportunity to use it more often. And when it comes to here, we have a lobby, but a lobby is not for conducting business while we're in meeting. The meeting is being held in here. So at this time, I think it's more important to support our veterans with having a table and chairs available for them more days of the week than a two-hour meeting in the ambassador. As far as comments, we have a public comment section that's available at any time. I do believe minutes are available online. Mr. Seligman, as far as the SRS payments, we got $2.3 million this year in shared receipts. The SRS program has ended. Now, if it comes back, then that's something we can plan for, but our budget session starts in a month and a half. We will start our budget committee process, and we go from our current revenues. That's not even including levy dollars at this time. If the levy were to pass, we are making a budget based on what revenues we will have for July 1st. As far as public works as an option, Mr. Ford, you're absolutely right. The cost of the January storm in our county to county maintained areas was $2.6 million. We have $2 million in the road reserve. Well, fortunately, FEMA is going to help restore some of that. We've applied for some relief on one of the bridges that was $1.185 million alone. But it doesn't cover everything. And even though U Creek was going to be repaired down the road someplace, because of the storms, it caused it to come to the forefront sooner. And that's exactly why you have a reserve. When something happens, you have to be able to repair it. Some cost more than others. Senate Bill 391, while I was looking at my computer while you were talking, is because I looked up Senate Bill 391. It had a hearing on March 7th, and it didn't go anywhere. So there's nothing else scheduled for Senate Bill 391. And just because somebody introduces a bill to the legislature does not guarantee that it goes to vote by the full Senate and the full House and becomes law. There's another one that got presented this week that's not going to go anywhere that would allow counties to take over child welfare and do the services. That bill's not going anywhere. It came out of Yamhill. So just because somebody might have written a bill does not mean that all of those bills become law. And so it's one of those things that we are living in a plan to come up with a strategic plan long term, but we have to budget for where we are and what we're coming with. And everything is on the table. If one thing our county has a history of is when enough revenues were generated by timber, our county chose not to collect property tax for a full decade. There's nothing to say that if we got full funding from our timber industry again, we could do that again. But that's not an option right now. We don't even have the ability to do that. That's why there's four lawsuits going on to give us a right back to the public lands to have equal access to the ONC that was designated for revenue for the counties. So I appreciate those other options people may have considered, but they're not a reality at this time. And so we have to go forward with what is actual. And for those things we don't control, we have some lawsuits to try to influence them. So as far as those responses.
Great. Anything else? Yes, Commissioner Young.
Yes, one of the purposes of the summits, roundtables, whatever, we've got two of them. One of them was to just finally get everybody's ideas as to how this can be funded. How can we avoid a tax levy? And as we went around the table, there were some really good ideas. One of them was a cogeneration plant for solid waste, you know, and sell electricity back to the power company. There was an awful lot of things that certainly can happen. But the question at the end of the day that I had for every one of them, and suing the government over ONC funds, there's all kinds of things going on out there. But at the end of the day, my question was, is all of this, can any of this come to pass between now and June 30th, because that's when the money runs out. And it's not a scare tactic. I think there was a letter to the editor last night that said we were employing scare tactics. Sometimes facts are scary. Sometimes facts are scary. And this is one of them that I guess if you think it's scaring you, maybe it should. But the fact remains that on June 30th, as everything stands right now, with anything legitimate that we can see coming down the tubes within the next year and a half, there isn't anything out there that's going to magically come up and have a continuation of the jail services and our sheriff's services and juvenile detention. They're not going to be the same, and there's going to be some takeaway, because SRS is done. And yes, Mr. Seliger mentioned that we don't mention that, and we don't mention it because, as Commissioner Morgan said, we have to deal with reality. We can't bet on what's going to be, and the only thing that we saw that can do this is a tax levy that can fulfill that void between now and July 1st. So we're going to put it out to the voter. Yes, Mr. Selling was right. Yes, we are going to leave it on ballot. And as Ms. Aaron says, the library district will be on the ballot. It's turned over to refer back to the people for their approval or deny it, one or the other. That's entirely up to the people. There's three votes up here. That's it. And I think three votes is going to sway one way or the other. So You know, it's, you know, we, if there was a different way, and that's what these roundtables have been for, is to bring these ideas forward. And we got some really good ideas going forward and some things in different ways of shifting money around. And we'll have a fact sheet out in the not too distant future, in fact, probably by in the next couple of days. And it'll list what the current list of services is, current level of service, and what it costs, what is available now, if the levy doesn't pass, and if the levy does pass. And it's all in plain, simple English. It's not meant to scare you, it's meant to inform you. So, you know, if you want to look at it like we're using a scare tactic, then you're certainly welcome to do that. I'm not afraid of it. I'm afraid of very little. And I didn't take it as a scare tactic. I used it as more information. Information sharing, make sure that everybody gets the proper information. We've had two of these roundtables where all Gilsey County staff was in the room and available for questioning. If you question the numbers, if you question the percentages, if you question the dates, if you question any part of it, we're wide open for anybody from the public to come in and talk to any one of us at any time. So that's what it is. It's not a scare tactic. As the paper, as the letter to the editor last night said, you know, don't listen to scare tactics any longer. This isn't a scare tactic, ladies and gentlemen, this is reality. I think we've all known that eventually it was going to stop. And you know, fortunately, the last two levies, oh, it's going to stop, and along came Secure Rural School, as Leslie Sullivan said, $4.5 million and $4.2 million. And that was great. That's a penny from heaven, to be honest with you, but we don't see that coming up this time. So at some point in time, reality will set in, and we think that this is the time that it will. So that's just all I have to say, and I appreciate everybody's comment today. That was some good stuff here.
One other comment that I had was whether or not we live in Josephine County because we live in the city limits of Grants Pass. I'm a United States citizen because I live in the state of Oregon that Josephine County is a part of, and Grants Pass is in Josephine County. Just because you live within a city limits does not mean that you're not a resident of the county, nor does it mean that I don't have a whole lot of family that live in rural Josephine County. But it also means that I pay the taxes that come from Josephine County because I reside in Josephine County. So until you say that I live in Jackson County, or the 2 years I lived in Washington State as a resident and registered to vote and changed my driver's license, I have lived in Josephine County all of my life. And if you don't believe me, tough.
I have a couple of comments. I think I'm going to start with Ms. Ahrens. While I'm busy looking down at my paper, writing your request down, which was specifically what could the county cut to fund law enforcement, that's when I'm not looking at you, Ms. Ahrens. And I've expressed that before, and I'm not going to deviate from my practice of 6 years. I keep a record of everything everybody says, and I've still got all those. Every single weekly business session I've attended over the last 6 years. The largest general fund appropriation that I think would be a positive to the public safety or law enforcement system would be the tax and assessment money that we appropriate. It's about $600,000. We get a pink slip every year that I'm aware of, that I've been here, from the state saying you are one full-time employee shy of not getting your CAFA reimbursement for the process that we supply. So they fund us. The state reimburses some monies. We're a net receiver of those funds. Klamath County, for example, is a net payer. So I'm not exactly sure why that distribution formula is the way it is, but we benefit from it, and I'm not going to ask too many questions to undermine that. But that's $600,000 that we could definitely appropriate to fund law enforcement, Josephine County, county services. But we have to provide that service for all of the other 13 taxing districts within the county. If nobody was doing assessment on the $7 billion or collecting that $770 million, you wouldn't have money to fund schools, the public safety system for the city, and all of their services wouldn't actually happen. And maybe that's a positive thing in some people's minds, that they wouldn't get a tax bill anymore, or the Department of Revenue from the state would come in and probably do it a lot more expensive. They would send us a bill, and it wouldn't be $600,000. It'd probably be closer to $1 million or more. What are we going to do about that? We've been working on a bill. I know that Connie Roach, our assessor, has been championing a bill for the last three sessions that would just provide a small fee to all of those taxing districts, not to exceed 2%, to pay for, to help pay for that system. And that would free up general fund dollars that we would be able to put to law enforcement. It wouldn't cost taxpayers a dime. It would just be kind of like moving of the money and assessing an appropriate fee to those taxing districts. We don't even get a thank you note at the end of the day for collecting that money, investing it in less than 30 days, and then cutting them a check. It's very statutorily required. All of the burden and liability is on us. None of it is on them. And they benefit from that system. Never even gotten a thank you note for us doing that. And you guys pay for that system, and that's what we all inherited. So it's a less than perfect system that we're trying to improve, and we're going to continue to work on that. I'm going to probably expand on SB 391, introduced by Ted Ferrioli, a really good senator. I appreciate his perspective more often than not. There are over 2,500 pieces of legislation that have been introduced this session, long session, up in Salem. I haven't reviewed all of them. I do know that the Association of Oregon Counties is actively reviewing close to 70% of those, working on our behalf. That Senate Bill 391 is not likely to go anywhere. Neither are a number of bills that actually would be really positive for Josephine County and other rural communities around the state. I understand that Representative David Brock Smith introduced a piece of legislation that would match state dollars, dollar for dollar, for new revenue generated, but after signee die, which would mean the end of the legislative session. So even if that measure were to pass and the voters were to approve this current referral on the ballot for the levy, it wouldn't be in effect in a time that would make sense to get to appreciate that revenue stream. I'm pretty sure that's the nexus of how that would all work out. So he introduced that, and I talked to him about it, with the idea to try to bridge the gap and incentivize rural communities that have had trouble passing these levies for specific critical services, to try to incentivize them for a duration of time to where they'd be matched funds from the state. I don't know that I necessarily endorse Multnomah County funding something that is a local service here. They kind of already do, with appropriating more state troopers to this area than anywhere else in the state. But nonetheless, it's an idea that's been thrown out there. To further on that concept about pieces of legislation, 74 or 76 congressmen in the House is about one-third shy of what you need to get something passed in the federal Congress. So it takes 218 votes, and what I'm looking for is not the 76, because they're important, but leadership in the House is the most important thing, and we don't have that on secure rural schools this go-around. They have told us the last time that they're not going to be in favor of an extension of secure rural schools. PILT is likely to be funded at close to 90%, but we still haven't seen that yet coming to fruition. Because secure rural schools won't be funded as well, our PILT payment will go up, but our PILT payment is probably going to approach maybe $750,000, certainly woefully shy of the $4.5 million or $3.7 million that we're shy in our public safety system, our law enforcement system, this next year, just to maintain our current level of service. So we have to deal with these realities, as it was previously said, when we're crafting our budget this next year. Frankly, it's a decision above our pay grade about what kind of level of law enforcement. We did ask the voters in 2012, is the current level of law enforcement meeting the community's needs or your individual needs? And it was about 74% said no. And that's an important reality for us, that there's a gap there. There's a delta between what people are expecting and what they're receiving. And really, it's resources that's that gap. I think I'm proud of the communities that have stepped up and really been aggressive about neighborhood watches and other things, but that's one piece of the puzzle that I don't think should ever go away. It used to be a part of our agrarian society, and it no longer kind of is the fraction that it should be. But when something does go wrong, that neighborhood watch has to call somebody to come get somebody to put them in jail. And I think that's really the edifice of why we're referring this levy to fund specifically jail facility for adults and juvenile detention. All of the burden is not being pushed onto the backs of the taxpayers. Our forestry department has tripled the amount of revenue they're expecting to get and to pay into the law enforcement system in that portion. And I think that's a real positive measure to the public about how we're being good stewards of the resources we've been entrusted. And so I think most everything else has been said. I will clarify for the record, I do think that table and chairs, I'm not sure how we acquired it. Previous board reallocated it to a different program, but I'm not sure that it's open to the public for their, I think it's in their break room.
Okay.
Could be wrong. But that's not really what we're intending on people to do, is sitting in the foyer and socialize. This is our weekly business session. This is our board meeting. And we do appreciate the comments. It's not the only opportunity to address the board. We have people come to us all the time or send us emails, phone calls, and all of that. The 3 minutes is really just your public opportunity. If you want to voice your opinion publicly, really the Daily Courier and a letter to the editor or going on CAJO or some other means is really your opportunity to do that. It's really not appropriate here. We're just supposed to address the meeting, the issues that are at hand. So not to belabor the subject, I'd move into the administrative calendar and entertain a motion on 2A, which is approval of order number 2017-010 in the matter of designating county-owned real property as public parks or recreational area.
Make a motion we approve order number 2017-010.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Great. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item number 2B is approval of order number 2017-011 in the matter of an alienation, sale, conveyance, or exchange of county-owned real property designated as public parks or recreational area.
Make a motion to approve order number 2017-011.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on this? I want to thank Mr. Watson and the legal office for all their work on this. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item number 2C is approval of amendment number 1 to contract for personal services with DH General Contracting and Maintenance, LLC for transit vehicle cleaning.
I'll move we adopt the amendment.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
I was just going to say one thing about this one. Was the key is that it was just an amendment of internal things, but the cap on that was no greater amount of money coming from the county.
Right.
And that was a key element.
Also, this is a program that's not funded by general funds, so your tax dollars do not fund the transit program within Josephine County. Those are federal dollars transmitted through the state, sometimes to the city, to the county, in order for us to pay for that program. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries. Item number 2D is approval of intergovernmental agreement 31537 between Josephine County and ODOT for the continuous operations variance permit authorization.
Make a motion to approve the intergovernmental agreement number 31537 between Josephine County and ODOT.
I'll second it.
Great. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Just for a point of clarification, the reason things are on an administrative calendar is because they are a change in policy or a change in budget. And so those require, by our internal policies, the idea that they will be voted on individually on an administrative calendar. And so we'll end with item number 2E, which is approval of contract for public works project between Josephine County and JRT Construction LLC for Azalea Drive at East Fork Hugh Creek Culvert Replacement Project Number 280001.
Make a motion to approve the contract for public works between Josephine County and JRT Construction Project Number 280001.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes, motion carries. Item number 4 is approval of the consent calendar made up of only one item, 4A, amendment number 1 for the 2016 fund exchange between Josephine County and ODOT for Merlin Road Improvements, Sanitarium Road to Robertson Bridge Road, agreement number 31722. Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes, this is a project that we want to get started on this coming summer, and basically it's a sidewalk between those two areas out in Merlin, and it is based on a racial agency. We're going to trade $676,445 for $635 in state funds. This fund exchange will be on a reimbursement basis with the state funds limited to a maximum of $676,000. All costs incurred in excess of the fund exchange amount will be sole responsibility of the agency, which is Josephine County. We don't anticipate that to happen, so this will be funded with federal money and state money rather than county money.
We do the fund exchange from the idea that federal dollars can find yourself requiring for ESA, which is the Endangered Species Act, NEPA, the National Environmental Protection Act, and others that really exacerbate the cost. And on a smaller project like this, where it wouldn't be required, but using those funds, we can avoid a lot of additional costs, delays in the project, and other things by having the state kind of provide funds. We provide them federal funds, which they would use in a federal project that would require those things anyway. And I think it's a way to work it all out most efficiently, as efficient as government can possibly be. I'll entertain a motion on the consent calendar.
I'll move that we adopt the consent calendar for a
second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Motion carries 3-0. Yes, motion carries 3-0. Any other items that should come before the board at this time?
I do want to bring an item that I'm hoping to get feedback on by this afternoon, just to your attention. I have emailed a version of the fact sheet, draft number 7. There were a couple questions that are highlighted in red or slash orange of whether they should be from the word variation yesterday. So hoping to get that project wrapped up this afternoon.
I think so.
So I just want to bring that to your attention, that if that has been emailed.
Great. It's really cumbersome for the board who can't meet privately or together outside of a publicly announced meeting to work on a collaborative project like this. It's the worst possible scenario of how you'd want to work together. Imagine doing like a school, college program, write a paper or something, but you can't talk to one another. And so if we can do it individually outside and then come together in a public meeting and provide input and then change it and get it hopefully done. But you want to talk about inefficiency of government, this is a prime example, but that's the structure we've inherited. So I really want to commend and thank Commissioner Morgan, who's really led the charge on this. We want to provide as much transparency and get away from advocacy in this fact sheet and really provide the realities of what it is. I was in a meeting 2 weeks ago up in Portland. It was on a really not well-known sudden oak death syndrome that I've been tracking for a number of years that really has come up from Siskiyou County and over in Curry County. It will be an issue in Josephine County in the coming future. But as it says, sudden oak death, it doesn't just apply to oak trees. And there's a room full of pathologists up in Portland who were describing this in front of Senator Merkley and a couple of state representatives, David Brock Smith being one, who convened this task force. And they're talking about this thing like they would about a common cold. This is not a common cold. This is a catastrophic pathogen that could reduce the Northwest portfolio of forests and other vital nursery stock and other things to a non-existent industry within the Northwest. And they're describing it like it's no big deal. It's been going on for 10 years and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting in this room freaking out that we're going to have a situation where federal forest management comes back into the portfolio of our economy as a viable option, only to have it not be an option because nobody's going to buy your timber because it's subject to this pathogen, or the trees are all going to die or something to that effect. Maybe I'm a doom and I don't want to be, but so one, as an illustration of where one person doesn't see this as that scary of an issue, somebody else reading this fact sheet in the reality that there will be potentially no rural county patrols after July 1st, you have a real reason to freak out. So that's up to you. But providing the facts is not us trying to provide a scare tactic. Reality is that It costs an average county $2.50 to provide that level, base level of services. A 2006 study of the state counties said that. Our tax rate is 58 cents, and we used to get timber dollars that shorted up to probably closer to $1.52. So the difference wasn't that big a deal. You take that funding stream of forest management, secure rural schools, or whatever you want to call it, out of the mix, it still costs $2.50 to provide that level of service that everybody expects. But the rate, the, what we charge for that service is 58 cents. So you can just imagine that there's a difference there. And you're going to have to reduce those level of costs. We can't go into debt or issue paper like the state of California can. We have to pass and propose a balanced budget. And that's the sheer reality of it. And we will do with whatever we are provided for. But to give that option to the voters is really our responsibility. And I think that's what this levy does. Listening to them is exactly why we propose something under a dollar. Would we have liked something closer to $2? For sure. But I don't want to put that burden on my mom and dad who have to pay this tax if it should pass. But they can probably afford on a fixed income. There's just very fixed this level of service and this level of a tax rate. So I didn't want to go right into matters from commissioners, but I did feel led to kind of respond to it and clarify how and why we're working on what we're doing. So Commissioner DeYoung, do you have anything?
Yeah, I got phone call last night regarding the BMX track out there, because it's a, the city had a project that moved the BMX track from one location to the other, and now in order to make that BMX track whole, it's falling short of funding and different things that are required, so I'm going to be following through on that from the very ground up and be asking some serious questions to staff.
I would only ask that if you do that, you have to do the track race yourself.
You're dreaming. I will not be out of my bicycle.
I just want to comment on your tie. It's pretty cool. I feel a little left out with you guys, but I'm okay with that.
The tie is not me, I can guarantee you that.
So Commissioner DeYoung inherited a long-standing internal policy. The board on Wednesdays, our formal weekly business session, would wear a tie. The men would. And so he's, you know.
And if I don't match, I got dressed in the dark because I came in at 6 o'clock this morning, so it's okay.
Working on it.
You're allowed to stay back there in the back room. another thing is that, you know, when you go through basically, and we hear it all the time, you're going to tax me, clear out of my house. With this levy, and I pulled up by a general call, and I pulled up his tax return. He lives in the city, so he paid roughly $2,770 to the tax collector, and because he wrote the check out to the Josephine County tax collector, by golly, that's what the county got. And when I walked him through actually where that money was allocated to, as Commissioner Harris said, and I don't know why, you know, it seemed perfectly normal to me to a credit card charges 3% to the people that use a credit card for admin fee. They charge 3%, but yet we can't charge anything to the people we collect tax for and actually do that $600,000 a year job. But by the time I walked him through it, he said, out of the $2,770 that he paid to Josephine County, when it came down at the end of the deal with the bond for the jail and his contribution to Josephine County and the Sheriff's Department and the General Fund Island, it was $150 out of $2,770, $150 was what people march up and down in front of the courthouse for. They're marching up and down here, and when they were to go a half a block down here, it was almost $1,400 to the city of Grants Pass in the same tax statement. But you didn't write the check out to the city of Grants Pass. You didn't write a check out to the school district. You didn't write the check out to RCC or anybody that or the 4-H extension. You wrote it out to Josephine County, so that's what sticks in your mind. I just want everybody to drag that tax statement out, your property tax statement, and really go over it and become, and here's another, that's another portion of informing people, because I never looked at it while I had a mortgage because my escrow company, the mortgage company, paid it. This is not a bill. It says right on the top. But boy, when I first had to fill it out myself, holy cow, I started reading it all. And it got almost to be a phobia because I read my electric bill and my water bill and all the other bills, and it's scary what they kind of tack onto that. So just to kind of clarify that the portion that's going to be affected by the dollar, by the 93-cent tax levy, is the portion that says Josephine County. And then if you want to so choose to add the jail bond on that, you can do that, but it'll be paid off this year, and that 13 cents a thousand will be coming back off of it. So it'll actually be 80 cents when you get done net in year 2018. So just want to clarify that.
Commissioner Morgan?
I'm good. Oh, well, I guess one thing I should mention, sorry.
Okay.
Charter Local Edition is doing an interview tomorrow, and I'm supposed to prepare 3 to 4 questions we'd like them to ask based on what topic we'd like to provide. So they invite you to be interviewed, but they want you to provide the information, and it can't be political or anything election related. Okay, you asked a politician to an interview.
Yeah. You can ask about my tie.
That's right. So anyhow, that'll be going on tomorrow morning. So.
Yeah, they do those in half an hour segments, and so they'll be doing those all day for a couple of days. And interviewing different electeds throughout the state. Charter does that. I think I've done that probably 4 or 5 times, and they've been really positive. So you can talk about your upbringing and what you see for the future of Josephine County. I'm sure there's no shortage of things you can come up with to talk about, Commissioner Morgan. I think that'd be great. To expand on what you were saying, Commissioner DeYoung, I think it's probably pretty easy math for people to say that it's roughly about 8% is what the county keeps out of any general tax dollar. 8% is what we cover that assessment taxation portion out of that and a number of other programs. But we've also made a number of programs within the county non-general fund dependent. So your fairgrounds, your parks department, libraries are no longer provided for. Public health gets a very small portion. All of these different programs that are pretty well funded in other counties from around the state, we just don't have the resources here. And so back in a number of years ago, 2008 and prior, we've taken steps that now counties who are don't seeing those resources from forest management anymore are taking, and they're calling us to say, how did you do that? And what are the steps you took to get to a fiscal situation like you are? It's not through poor fiscal management, and I say this almost every week, and I'm going to continue. Over the last 5-6 years, we've improved our bond rating, which is a Moody's New York evaluation of our fiscal stability, twice. So through all of those challenges, our fiscal decisions have resulted in somebody from outside the area saying the decisions that you're making are putting you at a very financially stable position. So although we don't have a lot of resources to appropriate to the programs we all value, we do a good job of how we appropriate those and do fiscal management here at the county. So that's all that I'm going to say. Appreciate you doing that interview. I will be gone tomorrow after about 9:30. I need to go to Eugene. There's a new director of BLM. Her name is Jamie, and I'm going to be having lunch with her and the ONC executive team. I'm the vice president. Tim Freeman from Douglas County is the president this year, and we'll be having lunch with her talking about what it means to have jobs in our community, not just another federal payment. So we're working on every possible avenue. We have at least 3 lawsuits against the federal government on federal forest management to try to encourage them in the right direction. We're going after every possible dime out there and job to improve our economy as best as we can. So I think the effort, we're really leaning into every single issue we possibly can here at the county to try to improve it. And I really appreciate this board sharing that vision and coming on with their own perspective and really taking charge and leading the effort in this. So I'd suggest that on the BMX issue, we wait to address that as a board until this 3 o'clock. There's a lot of different irons going on in different directions.
I'm just seeking information, right?
Yeah, I met with them this morning and last night, and we'll continue to kind of try to get ahead of this issue. So we're making progress nonetheless. Thank you all for attending, and with nothing further, the board is adjourned at 10:13. Have a great rest of your week.